Next week marks 25 years since the LA riots. For 6 days, Los Angeles exploded with reports of deadly violence, fires, and looting following the acquittal of 4 white police officers in the beating of black motorist Rodney King. As the city burned, there were calls for King himself to make a statement, and he did about 48 hours after the not guilty verdict.
Please, we can get along here. We all can get along. We just gotta, you know, I mean, we're all stuck here for a while. Let's try and work it out.
1992 was like a different era when it comes to recording technology, but there was video and audio, and a new documentary aims to showcase some of it. It's the work of Tom Jennings, who was a reporter in L.A. during the riots. His documentary, The Lost Tapes, L.A. Riots, airs Sunday on the Smithsonian Channel. Tom, welcome back.
Jeremy, it's very good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And as you point out in this documentary, many of the videos haven't been seen since 1992. How did you find them?
You know, it's a lot of luck, actually, because there's so much out there that already. We had one of our researchers scouting around L.A. City, and we've discovered that all of the Los Angeles City videotape records from the 90s are actually now housed at USC, University of Southern California. And so she went down there to specifically pull city council meetings, looking for something that would illustrate what was going on politically leading up to the riots. And the researcher at USC said, oh, and then there's those like 100 tapes over there from the LAPD.
Wow.
And it turned out, even though I was a reporter at the time, I never knew this, but it makes sense now, the LAPD sent out their own camera crews during the riots to document what they were doing. And there's something like 100 hours of LAPD footage that's just been sitting at USC for 20 years.
Well, and of all of that, what was the most amazing thing you were able to find and show in this documentary, do you think?
The internal memos from Police Chief Daryl Gates to his officers. He would have a camera crew come in and tape himself giving a statement about what the state of the LAPD was at any given time. And then that video would be disseminated to all of the stations, the police stations.
Well, let's listen to a little piece of one of those Daryl Gates videos. This is an internal LAPD video a week before the verdict. And he was talking about the fact that he didn't think that there would be huge riots if the verdict came down the way that it did. Here he is.
Now, there are some in our community, supposedly responsible leaders, who have suggested that if the verdict doesn't come out the way they believe that it ought to come out, that some will take to the streets and there may be some violence in this city. My personal opinion is that the people of this city are far too mature to allow that to happen, and that these are just voices in the wilderness trying to stir up some kind of problem.
Now, as we now know, widespread violence ensued following the verdict, and the LAPD was widely criticized for not being prepared, which you can hear a little bit of it right there.
They were either not prepared or Daryl Gates didn't want to be prepared. I think he was caught off guard at the intensity of what followed immediately after the verdicts came down in the Rodney King beating case. I don't think anyone really expected the LA riots to happen the way that they did.
Well, and it must have also been unbelievable to be in an American city, as a journalist in an American city, where you almost have to be trained to be in a war zone at a certain point.
I was a younger reporter then, obviously, and I had those dreams of going around the world and being a war correspondent. You know, when you go through journalism school, you kind of have stars in your eyes that way. And I recall being out that night, the first night where the city went up, and I can't tell you exactly where I was. It was near where all the problems were. It wasn't all the way down to Florence and Normandy, but there were gunshots on the street where I was. And just prior to going out, one of our photographers, he was an older guy, he had been in war. And he was instructing us on what bullets sounded like if they were coming at you or if they were going away from you. And that's when it started to become real. But when I started to hear the gunfire and there was smoke everywhere, there were no police, There was complete mayhem. People were just throwing things through store windows. I actually wound up ducking into a storefront, kind of crouching down, wondering, what am I doing here? And I thought, I'm in Los Angeles. I speak the language. I know all the streets.
Right.
I should be safe here. I no longer want to be a war correspondent. It cured me of that because I felt like this is as close as I want to come.
I want to listen to a little more sound from your documentary. You share some compelling audio from the riots from a local radio station, KJLH in Compton. It broke its all music format during the riots to give updates on the violence. And here a listener named Sean called in and said she lived in LA just north of where people were setting buildings on fire. And just a warning for our listeners that some may find some of her language offensive.
I went to the church at AME today because I'm really angry and I'm really very scared. You know, I just spent the last 10 years of my life in college, but it doesn't really matter because even with a briefcase in my hand and a suit on my back, I'm still just another nigger to the cops out there.
What goes through your mind when you hear that again?
It's difficult to listen to because I experienced the riots as a reporter, but I didn't experience it the same way as the people in Compton did. And KJLH, to me, they won a Peabody Award for their coverage during the time. They are true heroes. There are many heroes of the riots, but to me, they're true heroes. They became a place for people like Sean to call in. And it's heartbreaking to hear that someone who has a belief in herself sees what's happening outside her window, calls a radio station, and expresses amazing doubt that anything will ever change.
Hmm. Well, this story, of course, reverberated not just in Los Angeles, but it reverberated all over the world. And I want to listen to one more piece of tape that you have in here of Colin Powell, who was at the time chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he delivered these remarks.
Our hearts hurt because of that violence. And our hearts hurt because as we watched tragic events in Los Angeles unfold, we were thinking, no, not again. We can't let this happen again. It shouldn't be. We've come too far for this. But it did happen. And we see once again what a long way we still have to go.
Tom, when you look back and when you look at what's happened since, how well do you think L.A. has bounced back from the riots?
Well, I think it depends on who you ask. I think it has bounced back in that we're not experiencing riots that are happening in other cities throughout the country based on police relations with minority communities. That's not to say that people feel like everything is okay here. And there were riots in Los Angeles in 1965 in Watts, and they were terrible. 27 years later, the Los Angeles riots of 1992 happened. It's now 25 years after those riots. And, you know, in Los Angeles and in California, we talk about earthquakes, and we always say we're due because we haven't had one in a while. Mm. And I thought of that time frame, and I thought, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're not due again. But where things are going based on the state of the country right now, the divisions that exist, it could happen again.
You know, it's really interesting to watch at the beginning of your documentary the original footage of what happened to Rodney King and think about this person with a video camera, which at the time was not a very common piece of technology that everyone had. And then to think about the fact that each one of the incidents involving police shootings that have sparked riots or sparked major protests in recent years has also involved somebody videotaping that event. And I wonder if what your thoughts are on that and how important the technology is. I mean, you're showing video that hasn't been seen. It's the video that turned this into an enormous event.
I agree. People have said that the Rodney King video shot by a guy named George Holliday was one of the world's first viral videos. I think that's probably true in the kind of caught on tape sense with police brutality. And so I think there's some echoing through the years of that's where it started. And here we are today with things like Ferguson, Missouri, riots breaking out there. The parallels are unfortunate, but they're there. And I think a lot of it is because of the technology, because we all have become George Holliday.
That's Tom Jennings, who is the producer of The Lost Tapes, L.A. Riots. It premieres Sunday night on the Smithsonian Channel. Tom, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Started the investigation, no driver's license, no registration. When I stepped out the car, they slammed me. God damn ya, who got the camera?
Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, just give me just one more hit. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, just give me
who
just
got
one
the
more
camera?
Hit. Oh, please, oh, please.
And this song came out 7 months after the riots. It's called Who Got the Camera by Ice Cube. You're listening to Here and Now.
Wouldn't believe that my slave name is Jackson. He said, don't lie to me. I'm looking for John.